This is Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer Report. New Orleans monument fight triggers newspaper-rich spit wars. One footnote of the fight to take down four racially divisive Civil War and segregation monuments in New Orleans has been a seldom-seen dogfight highlighting the divisions among the rich elites that are rarely publicly displayed in front of the city's commoners. Locals might argue that too much has been said and written about the contrast in leaders' ideology and positions stated by the various sides publicly contending for prominence in the dispute. Most of that is just the usual bare-knuckle grist for the mill of local issues and politics, but the ad war has brought a new dimension to this bizarre and overdue dismantling. Mitch Landrieu, the mayor of New Orleans, has obviously been the man in the middle of the monument dispute every bit as much as he's been the public leader who invested the greatest political capital in getting the job done over the last several years. The Landrieu name owns a rich political legacy in the city. Maurice Moon Landrieu was a transitional mayor in what had seemed the permanent exchange of power from white to black political leadership, finally recognizing the emerging demographic majority of African Americans, moderating the tensions of the civil rights struggle by diversifying public employment practices and modernizing the city's position in the South, while later serving nationally as Secretary of HUD and then retiring as Louisiana elected appeals court judge. Mary Landrieu, his daughter, of course, served several terms until recently in the U.S. Senate as a moderate Democrat. Mitch Landrieu, before winning two terms as the first white mayor in New Orleans after a generation and losing a previous contest, had been lieutenant governor of Louisiana for several terms. Outsiders would have thought such a strong political bloodline would make the family immune from personal attacks even when there were political disagreements, especially in a city like New Orleans that likes to only reveal the comings and goings of the rich elite in the stage pageantry of Mardi Gras. As the monuments came down, so did the darker uptown veil. Frank Stewart, the former kingpin of Stewart Enterprises, in its efforts to build a national network of funeral homes, until its sale, has always been a crotchety conservative voice in business circles, but suddenly he was signing one and two full-page ads in both of the local newspapers, regularly attacking the mayor, derisively calling him Mitch in the ads with ad hominem slaps at his monument positions as being nothing but ambition and opportunism. His inner bad dog was off the chain. As one monument after another came down and his pro-monument position was rendered increasingly impotent, it seemed to mainly loosen his checkbook to pen even lengthier, largely incoherent letters to Mitch. And that's not all. Some side swipes he took at John Cummings, rich lawyer and owner of the Whitney Plantation, which has become a well-regarded destination for many to learn about the impact of slavery, prompted Cummings to also take out a full pager to defend his operation and family from Stewart's claims he was just money grubbing. Press Kabakoff, a local developer, in an after-the-fact letter to the editor, felt it necessary to weigh in. Wow! Rarely do New Orleanians ever get to witness such a bizarre public revealing of the fissures of the local ruling class. The last time may have been when former councilwoman Dorothy Taylor led the fight to integrate the Mardi Gras clubs, forcing the big whoops to come plead their case in open hearings in council chambers. Sadly, this is still all about race more than class, and the roots of these divisions are not as old as the Civil War, but are certainly embedded in the civil rights and desegregation fights. Any rudimentary scrutiny of voting records in the precincts of uptown New Orleans over many decades bears the continued grievance that the Landrieus somehow sold out the white elite. From Moon to Mary to Mitch, their political lives have depended on strong black majorities. Often they have lost or only narrowly carried a majority of white votes. Stewart and the circle of friends, associates, and others in his echo chamber may continue to egg him on, but he's not fighting the last battle of the Civil War, but the ongoing struggle around civil rights and equality for African Americans. He and the many like him will lose this fight, just as they have had to watch the monuments come down, and they can shout their rationalizations as often as they want to pay for the newspaper ads, but tragically, this is an uncivil war that will continue for many years to come. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.